Hello and welcome to the Dadcast. My name is Matt.
My name's Paul.
And we are both dads, gamers, and tech lovers.
And content creators.
And don't forget content creators. This is our podcast and we hope you enjoy it. Stay tuned, tune into future episodes, and we hope that you enjoy the chill out with us. And of course, we like to enjoy
a good old fashioned drinky poo.
A good old fashioned drinky poo. So we will always introduce a new drink each week or each episode. So stay tuned, tune in, have fun, chill out, and de-stress as a parent, a dad, a gamer, and a tech lover.
Enjoy it.
Peace.
Love you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 18.
Episode 18.
Of the Dadcast.
It is.
Welcome to my co-host, Paul.
Hello.
Welcome back. And you've been back at work this week.
Oh, don't remind me. Yeah, I have.
So we start...
4 days of torture.
Should we start off with what we did last weekend?
Why not?
So it was pre-Halloween, wasn't it? It was a pre... But it's kind of become our annual...
It's
our yearly voyage.
We take the hour-long journey out of
It's not even an hour.
No, it's like 40
20 minutes tops. It takes us longer to get out of Bournemouth than it does to actually get to the campsite.
Yeah, yeah.
So once you get out of Bournemouth and Poole, it's 5 minutes up the dual carriageway to Sanford. But it's far enough away that it feels like we've gone away somewhere.
Yeah, it's closer to nature than we've ever been.
Yeah, exactly. So we went away to a place called Sanford, which is a Park Dean resort, I think. And you get all of the Halloween activities, stage, music, and all that
good
stuff.
Old children's entertainment.
Yeah, and the kids love it. And we obviously get to stay in a caravan, static home thing, which you know, the Pikey and me loves.
Yeah, it's good fun.
So it is good fun. It is good fun. So we did that. We also went for a walk.
Lovely walk.
And I took you for the first time down to Worth Matravers.
Worth Matravers, Marsh.
We went to a very nice pub. We did a nice walk. We did a bit of content.
Did
while we were there, and we did the content
which
in a
I now
famous
you owe
place.
Me you owe me royalties now because
I do because
the brand seemed to share the photos of me with your product.
They weren't fussed with me, but we also stood in the spot where they filmed Andor.
Yeah, Star Wars Andor. Yeah, we did. We stood in the spot where it was Saw Gerrera's rebel camp.
We stood there. So I might need to re-watch that now because we stood there. So the shot where you know we're both stood overlooking the sea on the ledge, the Worth Matravers ledge, is basically right behind, like 20 meters behind where the shot of the X-Wing is.
Yeah, yeah. We walked through the X-Wing, basically. Yeah.
It's amazing.
And then the shots I was taking for sneak inside the quarry was literally like where in shot.
Yeah, so I love stuff like that.
So cool.
Like you wouldn't know that. They don't make it known down there. There's no signs to say this is where we filmed Star Wars and stuff.
We should take a sign.
I think so. Or we should go down there.
Saw Gerrera was here.
Yeah. Or we should go down in stormtrooper outfits next time and take some pictures. That'd be quite cool.
Crotchless.
So we did that. We obviously, I wanted to do a lot more on the day, but the weather was a bit intermittent. I wanted to get the drone out.
Yeah, bit too windy for the drone.
We had the kids. It was a bit windy. It just wasn't happening.
No.
Then we finished up with a nice beer.
Lovely beer in the old Square and Compass.
Well, we had a beer on the walk.
We did have a beer on the
walk. So I snuck two beers in my backpack. LoPro, shout out to LoPro. I fitted drones, camera gear, and two beers. And packed lunches for the kids.
That's not the perfect advert.
It is a big bag.
Yeah. It's a good... It doesn't look that big, though, but it's spacious.
And it didn't feel that heavy either.
No.
It didn't feel like I had a really heavy bag on my back. So that was really cool. So we managed to do that. And then, obviously, in between that, back at the campsite, lots of beers, lots of drinking, clubhouse, swimming.
I mean, diets just go out the window, don't they?
The last 10 days have been brutal. I feel disgusting.
McDonald's on the way. And then we had pizza for dinner. And we had just nuggets, freezer food.
There's no point trying.
No.
There's no point trying. This kind of half-term holiday, I've been really bad. I've got the munchies pretty much every single night. And comfort eating, basically.
It's just boredom, isn't it?
Boredom, bit of comfort. And it's the worst when I have a drink and I play a video game. Bit different if I'm on the PC, but when I'm on the sofa, like I was playing Starfield last couple of nights, and then I just want to chain eat. I just want to open one thing after another.
Yeah.
Nuts, crisps.
See, if I'm playing game, I don't eat that much. But if I'm watching the Great British Bake Off, then I'm
dangerous.
I'm snacking.
But as I say, it's more sofa. If I'm sat at the setup,
I
can forget about food.
Yeah, 100%.
For hours. Or if I'm doing content, I might start chain drinking coffee, or I might start, you know, just drinking soft drinks.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can forget to eat. And that's quite a good thing sometimes, to get that intermittent fasting in between stuff. So like when I was building the PC yesterday, that was it for 4 hours. No drink, no eating. Mm. I needed to concentrate. And then like the wine came out towards the end of it.
Your body's going, yes, give me time to digest. Then you start plowing it with alcohol.
Yeah,
going,
it was basically like, how early is too early? And I was kind of like, yeah, you can't really do it at five.
If you ask our neighbours when we were camping, too early isn't a thing.
Too early is basically you're not awake yet.
Yeah, I think it was like 10 o'clock in the morning they were walking out of the Fosters.
Oh, yeah. No, they were pushing it quite hard. But it is quite nice to go away and think, you know, you can start, you know, lunchtime drinking.
Yeah, yeah. You have to. I mean, lunch, 1 o'clock was our earliest, I think.
Yeah, and it's not like a mega sesh. It's just basically having one or two in the afternoon and then have a break.
Yeah, kids to be responsible for.
Exactly. So that was really nice last weekend. Then obviously we came back Monday. You didn't get back home till quite late on Monday.
No, so we left, what, 10:30 we left site? Yeah,
and you didn't get home till, what, about 4?
Yeah, we went into Poole Town Centre for a bit. We had to get some food shopping, boring stuff. Walked around the quay.
Yeah.
And then back home. Oh, yeah. The McDonald's on the way home. McDonald's on the way home.
Yeah, we did the same. So we had a Macca's on the way back.
Because he had the old
99p Happy Meal.
That's it. Through the app. So we both had an app each. Yep. I ordered mine and Layla's.
Yeah, exactly the same as us. So that was like just the coffin nail of the diet for that. Because obviously you can't not have Macca's as well. And then we've got nothing to cheat. Like the goal this week was to sort out laundry, get our what we call the cinema room or our third bedroom clear so the girls can start using it. Obviously we're prepping to basically move the girls into their own rooms at the end of the year, so we wanted to break the back of it, but both of us just had no energy this week. Carly's picked up a cold, has worked two night shifts, I've been doing loads of content, and then obviously in between that building the girls setups again.
Yeah,
so yeah, I've not had the motivation to do laundry this week.
No.
So maybe a bit this weekend.
That's the thing though as well, coming back from a holiday, you're 4 nights away and you come back and the amount of washing and all the other crap.
Yeah, and as we said before we started the podcast, is like, I hate this time of year because you can't get anything dry.
No.
Unless you want to stick everything in the tumble dryer, which obviously then is really expensive.
Yeah. Ours is in the garage now, so it's dead. If we want to use it, we've got to travel.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, all of that sort of stuff. But obviously, it is my turn for drinks this week, and I was a bit torn. So Carly bought us some drinks before we went away.
Yeah.
And we said we'd save them for the podcast. Now, we could have them now.
We could.
But I kind of feel like, because we know what they are,
it's a bit, yeah.
Kind of, it's not a surprise.
No.
And the podcast is a bit
of a
surprise.
I just thought we were going to plead ignorant and go, oh, what's it going to be?
No, I can't.
In true creator fashion.
I can't fake it. Well, I can, but I didn't want to.
Yeah.
So I went out to Asda today. Cool. And bought some other bits, and I was quite happy with my purchase. Then I was at the till and there was something else that was new. But because you're driving, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it because it's going to be too strong. These are already strong.
Okay.
But that would have been too strong.
Well, I'll tell you how I feel, thank you very much.
Yeah. we'll see out after it. But I'm just trying to be responsible here. We're on air. So what happens off air will be different. So we'll start with these. One did fall out of the fridge about 5 minutes ago. I don't know why.
You've shuffled them up and you're not sure which one's which now.
No, I do, because there's a dent in it. Okay. Basically. So I can take a picture of one. I can't take a picture of the other one. We've got the beer glasses ready to go.
We're nothing without our lumps and bumps. We're all beautiful. So.
Exactly. Well, I like to think so. My mother thinks I'm handsome. and my kids, no one else.
Face so mother could love.
We've got, so I'm going to read the back of this. We have one rule, never just make vanilla ice cream. Well, that's their motto, apparently. So let's see if there's anything else on here.
No, it's not raspberry ripple flavored.
So basically, after last week, I bought a pack of 8, I want to say, cans, and we took 2 of them on our walk.
Yes.
And I actually really liked the beers. The
Tiny Rebel stuff, yeah.
Yes. So I went to Asda, and I saw a Tiny Rebel beer.
Nice.
That wasn't in the box.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you this.
Eyes are shut. Thank you very much.
There we go. On for you.
I'm trying to feel where the bottom is. That's the bottom.
So you can open it up now.
Or open it backwards.
So this is the Fruzy. Tiny Rebel Fruzy.
The fruit smoothie.
Yes. Fruozzi. Fruit smoothie. 6.5% IPA.
Peach and raspberry.
Peach and raspberry. So the I is a hazy, peachy look. I quite like these cans. They actually give you quite a lot for the podcast. So the taste is peach/raspberry. The nose is summer berries. And to the eye, it's a hazy ale. Welcome to our world. We have one rule: never just make vanilla ice cream. So that is our test today. I'm good. This could explode. Oh no, we got away with it. So let's do the pour.
I'm nervous.
You're nervous for the peach.
Well, it's the raspberry more than anything.
Raspberry could be a bit sharp. So we're pouring that out.
Oh, I've got to reach my glass.
Good head as always.
Always got a good head.
There we go. That's a nice can. We're going to have to take a picture of your one. As I say, because mine's dented. It is a very cloudy IPA.
I'm pouring, pouring.
Oh, yes. The nose.
I'm getting raspberry. It said summer berries
on the nose. But the nose, yeah, I can definitely get it. Remember we talked about certain fruity beers end up smelling and tasting very synthetic.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, it's very raspberry.
It's very raspberry, isn't it?
You can help taste that peach. You'll smell that peach, rather.
Mm. Right.
I was on the old peach iced tea today, so I know what a peach is like.
There you go. So the smell's nice.
Mm.
It looks nice. Nice cloudy.
It's pinky cloudy, isn't it?
Pinky cloudy, yep. Right. Although some of it could be the RGB behind us.
Could be.
So chin chin.
Cheers.
Mm. Wow.
Oh, it's not good. Not bad. It is
wow.
Good.
That hit me really hard, raspberry.
Yeah.
I'm not getting as much peach. Maybe
it's definitely not that synthetic, chemically fake taste as normal. That is a smooth. It is a fruit smoothie.
Wow, that's the fruitiest fruit beer I think we've had so far.
That's actually tasted good.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like I'm still having flashbacks to Aunt Bessie's. But that.
Oh no! It was that raspberry ripple ice cream that Brad bought us. That's the one that horrifies me.
The thing is, what we normally say is a bit of false advertising. Like it doesn't. Like we had the Yorkshire pudding beer. It was nice. Just tastes like beer.
Yeah.
Didn't smell like Yorkshire puddings. There was a bit of gravy in there, maybe. Roast pudding. A little bit of gravy again.
Yeah.
But it didn't smell or taste like a roast dinner.
The apple crumble was closest.
Yeah. Whereas this one.
It's raspberry. It's peach.
It's what it says on the tin.
Yeah.
They've got a lovely smell. That's really nice.
It is lovely. It's very nice. Thank you for this one.
That's all right. Chin chin. So I put that in the fridge for about 30 minutes just to give it a little bit of a coolness to it.
It's got a nice, it's got a nice
fresh
texture.
So there we go. I'm actually, I really like this brewery.
Mm. Tiny Rebel.
Tiny Rebel.
I've been to, the brew house and kitchen chains.
Yep.
So I've been a few of those before. Sometimes they have like a Tiny Rebel on pump.
Okay, nice.
And the little picture, the little teddy bear.
Yeah.
That was like, that is the top of the puller.
Amazing. Yeah.
Which looks really cool.
Yeah, that is cool. I really like those. That's definitely a brewery I like. I don't think I've had a bad one yet. They do a really nice one, the Citrus IPA.
Okay.
Which is the blue, the one that I took and put on the picture.
Yeah.
Today for podcast questions. I think it was that one. It's a blue tin.
Oh, yes. Really nice. I had a swig of that one.
Mm.
Yeah, because what did we have? We had the Club Tropicana.
Club Tropicana is nice.
We had the... I'm kind of a B.
You can get it up on my phone.
Bamboozle or something like that, wasn't
it? Yeah.
Which is nice.
So the one that I had...
For those wondering what
Cali Pale.
Cali Pale,
that
was
nice. Cali Pale. The Club Tropicana is what you had on the walk. That was a 5.5%. And then I had the Cali Pale, which was a juicy pale ale at 5%.
And then we went to the pub and had another pint.
We did.
And then the girls had to drive home.
They did.
And we amazingly managed to take the same photo from the passenger seat of our cars in the same spot.
Yeah, we did. Exactly.
That view of Corfe Castle.
It was really nice. So yeah, if you are looking for a new brewery or someone else to try, then you want to try Tiny Rebel.
Yeah, Tiny Rebel.
This is the Fruzy tonight. And these at the minute in Asda, 4 for $3.
4 for $3.
So you don't have to go with 4 of these. You can mix it up a bit. So
nice.
We got 2 drinks for Carly, like gin mixers or whatever, spritzers, and 2 beers for us, 4 for $3. So you can do a bit of mix and match, get some for the missus, get some for yourself.
Just get some for myself.
Or just get 4 for yourself.
Yeah.
Alcoholic.
She doesn't drink.
So that's our drink this week. Hopefully you can join us in grabbing one of those from Asda. If you wanted to buy them on their own, they probably are in the £2 region.
Yeah.
Kind of mid-2s.
They're big. Like pinty cans.
They're pinty cans, yeah. So they're going to be at the hot. I would think they'd probably be closer to 3 actually. But by the time you put 4 for $3, they kind of scale back to nearer to £2.
It's a beer question for you. Are we the only people that class it in pints? Or is it across seas, do they do pints too?
I don't know. Well, as we know, America can't get their dates right, you know, putting the month and the
or
day the wrong way around. And that. but yeah, I don't know if they call it pints over there.
No.
I mean, it's a
anyone who does not live in the UK, do you deal in pints? That's what I want
to
know.
When you go to the bar, do you say can I have a pint of beer,
or do you say can I have like half a litre,
or do you say a pitcher? I don't know.
Yeah,
half a litre or yeah, a litre. I don't
need,
know. It
I seems need 755 millilitres yeah. of
of your finest beverage, please.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good question, Paul. There we go.
There we go.
That's one straight back at you.
I've got a question for the listeners rather than them asking us questions.
The other way around.
I'm sick of you like guys asking me questions.
Yeah. Or not when we ask. But well, yeah. Yes, there we go. There's your question for that one. So coming on to topics then, let's start off with, we only got two questions. One of them was from you. So technically, we've only had one question.
Let's do that. Have we got any, before we get ahead, have we got any parenting stuff to talk about? Not really. Half time's coming to an end, thank fuck.
I don't really think there's anything topical at the minute. Nothing kind of stands out. Obviously, the kids are challenging at the minute. They're still not listening, but we covered that last week. Mm. Today we went to the ski park snow tracks for a birthday party. And it was Poppy's friends, and she was invited there to go on these rings down Ringos down the ski slope. She bottled it, cried, had a proper panic attack, meltdown, shaking, tears, runny snot, the lot. So she didn't go on it.
Yeah.
She didn't go on it after saying she would go on it. And Daisy took her place, and Daisy loved it.
Yeah, but she
so
did.
So it was just, yeah.
The fearless one.
One of those things, you have two kids that are completely opposite, and it's frustrating.
I always find it with my two, like something like that, at the top, they're looking down, they get scared.
Yeah.
And then once I've given them the subtle, you know, this is Sparta, kick down it, then they're like, oh.
It's not that bad.
I enjoyed that.
But Poppy did one of her things like we did at, was it Chessington?
Mm.
Where she has a force 10 meltdown where she starts screaming, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. So we had one of those moments, and there's just no point. She's not enjoying it.
No.
She's actually then making it less enjoyable for everyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
Just pull her out.
And then
we were lucky
waiting.
That they were like, can Daisy go? And they were like, yeah, just chuck her in. And she did about 12 goes. She loved it.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved backwards, and, you know, she feels it.
Is that trying to get back up from that? That's the pain before.
No, they put in a conveyor belt.
Have they?
Yeah, so basically now you get to the end, you turn off, and then from the bottom they've got basically a flat conveyor belt all the way back up.
Oh yeah, because they used to have a bit of rope you held onto and it dragged you up. And
no, on the Ringo, I don't know what the ski ramp still has the thing you kind of sit on or hold.
Yeah,
but the Ringos, they basically have a conveyor belt.
Oh nice.
Which is good because obviously the kids get up quicker, they have more goes.
Yeah, you can practice your gladiator.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just frustrating. Yeah. I think that Poppy basically gets in her own head quite early doors before she's even gone somewhere.
Okay.
And she talks herself out of stuff.
Mm.
And I you know, we try and say to her, stop getting in your own head, stop overthinking it, stop thinking about it until you're there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're building it up, and by the time we'd arrive there, she wouldn't even get out of the car.
Mm.
So it's frustrating, you know. It's hard, and I do get it. There's things that I do where I'm nervous, you know, and I've got that trepidation, and I don't want to do it, but I know that if I do it, I'll enjoy it.
Yeah,
and as an adult, you maybe reason sort of with yourself a bit more. But kids aren't rational.
They see the fear, and that's what they latch onto.
Yeah.
And it's hard, as you say, to pull them out of it.
And I could be talking about anything else, especially, and she'll still be saying, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it.
Poppy's also quite strong-willed as well, isn't she?
Very.
So, like, if she's made her mind up, like, that's it.
There's no point fighting.
No.
Yeah. Unless you literally, like you say, do the Spartan kick.
Yeah.
But she's quite strong, and she will wriggle out and make a scene.
Yeah.
Basically.
She'll make herself fall out and hurt herself and go, see, look what you've done.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just no point. So in the end, like I said, we're very lucky that Daisy could just take her place and go down today. Mm. So that was our thing today. Then we went to Asda, and it's the classic thing of, like, we're just going to get some pizza, we're just going to get food for tonight, and end up spending 50 quid. It's like, I cannot go in Asda without spending at least 50 quid.
Oh, no, I think so. Supermarkets are a nightmare.
You just, you know, if you're going up all the aisles, you just end up putting 7-8 things in the basket that you didn't
unless
need.
Unless you go in with the list and you go religiously stick to that list.
Yeah, or just leave your wallet at home and take a £20 note.
Yeah, yeah.
So that you are limited. But, you know, it's 55 quid without even blinking. Mm. It's just, oh, you know, it's so hard to make it, so easy to spend it at the moment. So, yeah, I don't think there's any other massive parenting stuff. Like we said, we're coming up to the end of half term and they're back to school on Monday.
Yeah.
Back to the grind, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. I'm not sure. Yeah. I think my two have been fine on the holiday. They've been all right. I mean, I've worked this week, so I've not seen most of the time. They've been all right.
No major topics. No. So we'll move on to a very cool topic.
The questions.
Well, we could do the questions first.
Whatever you're planning.
Well, the question.
Can you tell we've not got a script to run?
We're definitely ad libbing this week, but we did have two questions. One of them obviously was yours.
Mine.
So let's start off with yours because it is topical and cool.
Okay.
So why don't you tell us a bit about what has happened this week for you?
So for me this week, I've got one of my biggest Instagram collaborations, and I'm lucky enough to be, weirdly, I'm working with Meta. So, you know, Meta, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, three things now. Mm. Weirdly, it's via O2. So
yeah.
There's still another big, you know, O2 phone company. And they've sent me the Meta Quest 3.
Which is amazing.
To play with.
That's
and
an amazing.
Do a thing. I think the guys behind it is you can buy it from O2.
Yeah. So a bit like EE, they sell everything on their own platform. So they want you to buy it through them.
Yeah.
We don't care. And I don't think you care the premise behind it. You've got a Meta Quest 3.
Yeah.
And they are very cool. So I've got the Meta Quest 2. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we've talked about it on previous podcasts.
We've played it before. It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. But now I have someone else that has one. Although they're not the same model, I'm pretty sure they're cross.
They're all going to link up.
So we can watch films. We can play games. If we find something that we really enjoy, it could actually be really good fun.
Yeah. I'm quite excited to try the movie theater together.
Yeah. Big screen.
Yeah. To see if we can do that. Is that the big screen beta or something it's called?
I think
or?
It is. Yeah. So I went after obviously you talking about it, I was like, I'm going to get my because I barely use them, but when I do use them, I enjoy them.
Yeah.
So I sat there the other day and I was watching someone on Netflix. I can't remember what it was. And I thought, why am I watching it on the telly? I watch it in the cinema. So I put it on and I started jumping in with other people. So you go into big screen and you go into public screens and then you can just jump into films. So they had films like The Meg 2 or 3, whatever the latest one is. There was films that weren't in the cinema yet or are in the cinema now. They were on there.
Oh, nice.
So I was like jumping in between stuff and I wasn't really concentrating. I was just kind of like getting a feel for the rooms. But you do jump into the cinema and then you look around and there's other people sat in the cinema with you.
That's cool.
And with their avatars.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, yeah, it's cool. And if there were people you know, I mute myself whenever I go into public rooms because I just know. But you can also go into like living rooms where it's like just a chat room. It's not, you're not watching anything.
No.
So I went into this chat room and it was like 18 plus, but because they were playing like 90s rap.
Yeah.
So when I went in there, you're in a living room and it's like other adults in there, but they were playing, I think they were playing Tupac or Biggie or something in there, but they were obviously talking, swearing and whatever. So it's not kid friendly.
Yeah.
And I left quite quickly because I as much as I'm an extrovert, I'm also an introvert with certain people or strangers. But I could see that'd be really cool if you had like four of us that we know.
Yeah, because I think John's got one, hasn't he?
John's got one, yeah. I'm sure there's other people on Instagram that have them.
Yes,
we could do a night where you just basically put on that, you get into a living room, put some YouTube on, music, or you play a film.
Yeah, and just...
I just sat chatting.
Just chill out,
because they've got mics in them.
Yeah, yeah. It's really clever how it's done.
Or
like,
you put headphones on them.
Like the audio is done like...
Really good.
Yeah, it's like it plays music through your eyes.
Yeah.
Like, it's any loud. Way to explain it.
It's loud and it's bassy.
It's really clear and really well.
You don't need a pair of headphones
no,
on.
No, it's with, really with good
them.
Quality.
Even on the Meta Quest 2, like, the sound quality is superb.
I mean, because I remember with that, when I had that one on, I don't think, or when you had it on, I don't think I could hear the sound out like outside of you.
It's directed very well.
On the one of those on the Meta Quest 3, like when the girls have had it on, like I can hear it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think you probably would be able to. Obviously, I pair it with the Edifier headphones, so I get like the anti-noise like cancellation as well, so you can go full immersion. But they're very good without headphones as well.
No, so far, I've been very impressed. Like I told you earlier, I've bought Beat Saber.
Yep.
So we've had a bit of bop around on that, which is a lot of fun.
Yep.
And some of the kids did a couple of 360-degree VR tours.
Yeah, yeah.
Like underwater and...
Yeah, YouTube's full of stuff.
Yeah.
It's not interactive, but it's just quite cool to be flying or going underwater.
Yeah,
or,
over a volcano. That was quite cool. Yeah, Emily was watching a Nat Geo scuba diving thing.
Yeah.
There's this guy who's talking about scuba diving and conservation, things like that. Then every now and again, Emily's going, where's my friend? So she's like, oh, there he is. Because I'd managed to... Because it's a bit long-winded. I had to cast it to my phone.
Yeah.
Then screen mirror my phone onto the TV because I couldn't get it from Oculus to TV.
Yeah, I struggle with that.
So I had to go from phone, from Oculus to phone, from phone to telly.
It's a bit clunky that. So it is nice if you can see what they're seeing, especially if they're playing a game.
Yeah, so she was just like trying to follow, just walking around, like trying to follow this scuba diver.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, look, a fish.
Yeah, no, it's really, really good. I think they do need to improve the casting thing because like certain things, like if Daisy's doing, she can't work a control panel in the 3D thing, and I can't see what she's seeing.
No.
She's asking me what to do, so you've got to take it off her head, then it goes into sleep mode, then you put it back on, and it's a bit clunky, whereas if you could cast it a bit easier to a smart TV.
Yeah, if you could, or like, I think if you had it to, it was picking up a PC, so I think I could go straight to a computer with it.
Yeah.
But at the time, the PC wasn't on.
Yeah, you need to download the Quest software, and then you can probably screen mirror it from there.
I do have a few bugbears with it. Even though I've only used it for like 2 hours, there's a few things that have annoyed me slightly.
Go on, tell us. What's that? This is an unfiltered
unfiltered podcast. I mean, true to myself and what I always do, I will try and articulate it in my Instagram content, because I'm not just going to say it's the best thing in the world when, as a consumer, I see issues. One of them being, it has the pass-through mode.
Yep.
So you can see, it's almost like an augmented reality, isn't
it? That looks sick, because I've seen a couple of people that we follow on Instagram have done that, and they're in the kitchen, you know, watching YouTube while they're making their food. Because obviously the Quest 2 has a very limited pass-through, and it's black and white.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't rely on it to chop bread, you know, chop with a knife.
So if you've ever watched like a 1930s film reel and you tried to put that in colour, and it's all very heavily saturated and grainy, that's what you're going to get.
Okay.
So, like, it's very hard to focus. Like, you can see people.
Yeah.
But anything detailed, you can't see it.
See, that's really weird, because when I watched the... Oh, I forget his account now. But when I watched someone else do it, they've obviously screen recorded what they're seeing. It looks really good on there.
So grainy.
Maybe that's something to do, like I said, about unlocking the developer mode.
Yeah, yeah.
And upping the various quality. Because out of the box, that one did need some tweaking.
Mm,
yeah. And it was better once
so
I'd
far,
done
it's
that.
Been very... It's like, don't get me wrong, it is clear.
Yeah.
But it's almost sometimes like I haven't got my glasses on.
Yeah.
It's grainy. It's a bit pixelated.
Yeah.
And then like if you're looking at your screen... of like seeing what's on the TV, or like when you set it up, it says you're setting it up via your phone, and then it's like, oh, there's a QR code on your phone, hold it up to the thing. You can't see your screen.
Yeah.
Your screen is just a blur.
Yeah, yeah.
Like even though you can see like the outlines of things, like when I'm trying to hold the QR code up, trying to scan it, I couldn't see where the QR code stopped and started.
Yeah, yeah. I find as with anything with Meta, it's so convoluted logging in.
Yeah.
You know, like with Instagram, I don't want it to be linked to Facebook. I don't want it to be linked to Facebook, but it has to be.
Yeah, because when I set that one up, it's going, do you want the link as Paul Bird or do you want the link as MechTech Gaming?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I guess I'll just do my Facebook. Then it's like, oh, you haven't got a Meta account linked to this Facebook. You'd have to create a new Meta account. Yeah. So I was like, so do I now have 3 Meta accounts?
Yeah.
Like
it's all of that. It drives me nuts. Like just let us use it.
Yeah. Then like I want Instagram.
It used to be Oculus. So when I first got it, I think you could still create an Oculus account.
Yeah.
And then obviously it changed to Meta, and that was obsolete, and you needed to go through Meta. And then they made it so that you didn't need to. I think it was like you didn't need to link it to a certain page. You could have just a Meta account. But it's all a bit convoluted.
It is a bit, because you had to make your avatar again.
Yeah.
I'm like, we've already got one of these on Instagram.
Yeah.
So, and seeing as that you already know from my Wi-Fi password and because it's on my phone that I have these two accounts. Like, I didn't even tell him I had his accounts. As soon as I put the headset on, and because I had the app on my phone, it's gone, right, these are the two Meta accounts you've got.
Yeah, it's
and
a bit,
I'm like,
bit creepy, isn't it?
Bit creepy, but it's Meta, so they are fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
And I was like, so why give me the option of two when I'm pretty sure both accounts are...
They're linked anyway. Yeah, because one is a page and one is a personal.
Yeah, and now I've got a third tier to that.
But, yeah, the whole logging in thing for me is the worst part about
it. Yeah.
But once you start playing on them, they're great.
They are great, yeah. It's very well done. Like, the typing, using the triggers, you can use both hands. You're just like, it's the best.
It's really quick.
Apart from typing on a keyboard, when it comes to like typing on the Xbox and PlayStation, that's topped all of it.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, no, it's really good with both triggers. It's a really good bit of kit. It'd be interesting to see the difference in the resolution between it, because I still think, like, when I was watching Netflix, although I've got 4K Netflix, so on the TV it's really good. On the headset, it feels like it's like absolute best 1080, but probably more like 720p. So it's not as good.
No.
It's like watching... Yeah, it's like watching something on a very big screen.
Like I was saying to somebody at work, like even the Beat Saber graphics, I would say they're akin to like PS4. Like they're not like current gen.
No, it's like the Nintendo Switch of VR, isn't it? It's like the games are still good, and if it's a good game, it's a good game. But you don't load it up and get blown away by the graphics.
No, you try to play Cyberpunk on the Switch, that's what you're getting.
Yeah. Yeah, basically that. But they're good fun.
They are good fun. I've
not used it to the extent where it will be really good fun, which is playing with friends and doing stuff cooperative.
We'll definitely give it a go.
Absolutely. Especially, I think we want to do a nice shooting game. It'd be really good if we could do like a proper shooting game, but like a co-op game, not a lobby with real people.
Yeah.
You know, just a story where we're both in the game and there's stuff that we both need to do.
Obviously, you've got Sniper Elite 5 on there, which would be interesting.
Ooh, very nice.
But that brings me to my second bugbear.
Ooh, go on then.
My second bugbear is everything on there is stuck behind a fucking paywall.
Yeah.
Which I completely understand, because we're the same with consoles and PC gaming. You spend, you know, in this case, £470 on the VR set. And there is nothing on there which is like a free game as such, or an experience to sort of tie you in. I think there's something called First Steps, which I believe is a version of like PlayStation's Astro Boy thing.
Yep.
But other than that, I haven't found like anything that's like, here's a free game you can play, which is really fun, really cool, or here's...
Yeah, you can. So finding the App Store, there's this app, I'm trying to figure out the name of it, but there isn't a third-party app kind of developer program you can go on, which has lots of games on there. It's like a marketplace. It's Quest something. I can't remember the name of it now. And that's, you can also go on and unlock developer mode on your headset and do other stuff as well. But I'm sure there are a few on there, but there's not many.
No.
But there isn't many. But I think it's, you know, I think we've got used to the subscription model that we do with Xbox. So although we've got free games, we are paying for them indirectly through a subscription model. Yeah. So it's like there's not many free games.
Because there is a Quest Plus, which is like a £7 a month thing. You get two free titles a month of their choosing. So it's a bit like PS Plus kind of thing.
More like PS Plus, yeah.
But I think given VR is such like a bespoke thing, I thought there would be some more accessibility options for... Even if they're like lesser quality, but just some fun things to do for free, like
educational stuff, maybe,
or like some like VR experiences and things.
Yeah, I'm sure there might be people DM us after this saying, "Oh, there is, you idiots, you haven't found it yet."
And if there is, feel free, tell me.
Just let us know. Yeah, but yeah, no, I think our first mission is to basically find a good adult game that we can play together. Yeah. That might be quite cool.
See, there is one that's on my list. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's co-op or not, but it's called Bone Labs.
Okay.
Sounds
adult.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an 18 plus PR porn VR session. No, although I have heard in the grapevine that VR porn is a thing, so
it is very much a thing, and I'll let you explore that on your own. it's definitely revolutionary.
You know, so you've seen like the TikTok videos, you've got the guy in VR and he's like throwing the pistol magazine up in the air, like catching it. So that's Bone Labs apparently.
Right.
So that's on my list to buy, but again, you have to pay for it. I've already bought Beat Saber yesterday, so I don't want to be spending too much on it in one go, because one, I probably can't afford it, and two, Jess will kill me.
Yeah, well, I'm looking through the list now, 17 best multiplayer games on the Oculus Quest 2, obviously because it's still fairly new, the 3.
I think the 3 is still on pre-order, isn't it, to be honest?
Yeah. We don't want a PvP thing where you're playing against hundreds of people.
I did see a free game on there, and I realized it was a battle royale, and I was like, nope.
No, there is one. Player something. Yeah,
VR battle royale just sounds nauseating.
Yeah, no, and there'll be people in there that are really good at it. So multiplayer VR MMORPG, Zenith, The Last City, looks a bit like Zelda. So we could play that.
Yeah.
Rec Room. I think I've got Rec Room, in fairness. I think that's a free one.
I did
one.
See Roblox on there.
It's a sandbox one. Yeah, we could play that. Rec Room, ton of different VR games combined into one. So it's like a bit like a Wii Sports sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Like
paintball,
a jukebox.
Archery, sword, you know, Rec Room has all these kind of little
sub-games. Sword fight without VR.
Yeah. Table tennis, sword fighting, funnily enough, Broken Edge. So I think we need to go on there. We need to just have a look around.
So I should have bought a
VR around co-op horde shooter.
That'd be fun.
Called After the Fall. Ever wanted to know what a game like Left 4 Dead Vermintide
Vermintide,
or Darktide would look like in virtual reality. Well, this VR co-op game will show you, because that's exactly what it is. After the Fall is a co-op VR action game where you're a survivor in a snowy apocalypse in a world inhabited by icy zombies. You and three other survivors go out from the shelter of your underground home to scavenge for resources by mowing down hordes of these zombies. That actually looks really good. So maybe that's one.
How much is that, though?
I don't know. Let's have a...
So, after my rant and my brag and my rant all in one, my question was, for those at home, is VR all it's cracked up to be? And I think the answer, in a way, is yes. It is a lot of fun, and there are a lot of positives to it. But also, I think it'd be fair to say it is still, even after a good few years now, very much in its infancy.
I am torn, because the fact I don't pick it up and use it a lot tells me it's still a bit faddy.
Yeah.
However, when I use it, I still get blown away by it.
Yeah.
It's one of those things you need to commit to, I think, and go full on. It's not something you pick up once every 4 months and then, oh, this was a bit of fun, put it down for another 4 months. You have to kind of force yourself to use it. Yeah. You'll be like this. You'll have it and you'll love that you have it and it's amazing, but you'll find yourself not using it for 3-4 months.
No.
You just put it down, or the kids will use it. So VR is, I think, it's as good as you make it. I think it is really fun. Graphically, it's not there yet. But let's not forget that they're standalone devices. You strap them to your head. You don't need to link it to a computer
for
90% of games. Yeah. It is a console in itself. And I think, like we said, if you think of it like a Switch for your eyes, you're not going to be disappointed as much.
No.
It's not a PC quality headset. And I think a lot of us want to go into those augmented reality worlds.
I think especially
it's
coming,
like Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Cyberpunk VR?
Like a PlayStation player and seeing PSVR, and then that's got like some of the newer games that are out on PlayStation as VR versions, and they still look as crisp as they did on PS5.
Yeah.
And so I think part of me had that expectation.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's the problem. So it's like with Cyberpunk, you can play it in VR, but you have to mod it, I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to do that on PlayStation. Cyberpunk in VR would be so cool, though.
It would be so cool. Like playing Cyberpunk in VR on the PC.
Yeah.
Would be so cool. But I don't know how you would do it.
So I'm currently running around with the Witcher sword in it at the moment.
I'm
on my playthrough of it for Phantom Liberty. And running around just hacking people out of the Witcher sword in VR would just be...
It'd be amazing. I mean, people are like, just quickly reading on Reddit here. Finished Cyberpunk 2077 last night, playing 90% of it in VR on the Quest 2 via Link. And it's now among my top 3 VR experiences of all time.
Amazing.
So I bet it would be absolutely sick.
Like smart guns and stuff, tech guns.
Yeah.
Because the other thing, like I was Googling if you could have like Steam or Epic Game Store on there.
Yeah.
But it's only, you can get it on there, but like you say, it's via a link. You have to link it to your PC, then you can run stuff from your PC through.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, which to be fair, like the best game that I've played for graphics and realism was one that you link to your PC. You're playing it through your PC and then linking it to your headset.
Yeah.
Which is the robot one that I showed when I first started doing it.
Yeah.
And you could like see the robot arms and you're in a spaceship and stuff like that. So that is, yeah, that's a great game, but it is piggybacking off the PC.
Off PC.
Basically. But yeah, I think it's worth it. I do think it is good. I think the price point, although it still feels expensive, is not. Mm. It's reachable.
Yeah, say £470. I'm like thinking, for the same money, you could more or less buy yourself a PlayStation or an Xbox. So I think if I was given the choice of, I've got...
You'd buy a console, but those are cool.
Yeah, they are cool. And they are, like you said, they are a bit gimmicky to a point where you can, like you say, force yourself to pick it up.
Yeah.
So I have downloaded like a fitness thing on there that was free. It was one of the few free things I saw. And I thought, well, if I have a fitness thing on there and I'll try and commit myself to like a morning or an evening routine.
Well, imagine if we can do it co-op.
So I can on
box
there,
each other.
I could.
There we go.
But you'll get to see me in my Mr. Motivator gear.
Well, yeah. I've seen that already.
My spandex.
Yeah, I've seen that many an evening. But yeah, we've both got it. It does open up some extra options, which, because I think it's a very social thing.
Mm.
I think VR, you've got to commit to basically putting yourself online.
Could we host a podcast in VR?
Quite possibly.
We just do a live somehow. We're just VR it. And
I would imagine you would be able to do that because you can stream from it.
Mm.
I just need to work out where we would do it and how we would do it because you can get Instagram inside of the Hegra, but I think it's just the app.
Yeah.
But I suspect it'll be something around Facebook or something like that. But we could record an episode in there and then export it onto... Because I think Spotify now, you can play video.
Okay.
So if you would probably be able to watch the podcast on Spotify.
Just in like Playroom or something, just walking around.
Yeah, basically in our lounge.
Mm.
So we could have some music playing in the background, whatever. So that's something we need to explore. You just need to make sure that you've got plenty of battery.
Yeah.
Obviously, I've got those cool little battery add-ons that just like plug and play in the back of
the headset. That's the other thing I've got to look into. Because obviously, when you first get them, it's a box.
The headband is normally quite crappy.
The headband's not too bad on the one
I think they might have improved it in this one.
But it is just a box.
Yeah.
And two controllers. So you've got like no case or...
All the extras, basically. Yeah. And I had to build my... That Bob Over, they are like almost market leaders. Although I am working soon with Kiwi, the people who make that stand.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have a stand for you at some point that you can put yours on.
Mm.
So don't go out and buy one yet. But
well, what I've seen, have you seen on Instagram? There's some company, I forget what they're called now, but they basically do like 3D printed heads.
Whoa, I have seen that. Yeah,
they're black and
you
they get
stick
like
it on those.
You're like Arnie's
God of War.
Yeah, yeah. Or you get like I have Terminator. And I was like, see, having one of those on a shelf with a VR headset, it would look really cool, like a zombie with you.
Sam Fisher would be cool as well because the new one does look like a Sam Fisher
with
headset.
Three little lenses in there. Yeah. I wonder if I can paint them green.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my question.
So there you go. That's the topic this week. You've had an amazing collab with Meta.
So 6th of November when I've got to have to post by. So between now and the 6th of November, I think me and the kids are going to film it tomorrow morning.
Nice.
Hopefully.
And then maybe we can jump on and have a little play on something tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or later tonight.
We're dropping the girls over tomorrow, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you pack it with you when you come out, or
we'll be at the hospital, but maybe I can bring mine, put it in my travel case and bring it over.
Maybe, see if we can get something to link up.
Otherwise, we'll do it at home. Yeah. But here we go. There we go. That is our topic of the week. VR, great fun. Need to get involved and invest time. And you've got to buy some games.
Yeah.
To make it good.
Is worth it, though.
But I think we need to find a shooter that we can play together. A Zombie Horde Iceland shooter sounds good. It was $22.99.
Yeah.
So again, the prices aren't bad.
No, this is the thing. Everything on there, I think there's a couple of new games coming out there, which are in like the £40 to £50 bracket, which
but
I think is a bit
not steep. AAA prices.
No.
I think the average price will be between 15 and 25.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like what we would call AAA titles for VR, ones that are well known.
They're about the £40
mark. They'll be around the £40 mark, which I don't have a problem with if it's a good game.
Yeah.
It's
just graphically, I'm biased and snobby going, if I'm paying £40 for a game, it's going to look like Spider-Man.
I think the thing with VR that's different is the interactivity of the environment makes a big difference. So
it's mechanics
bit like,
over quality.
It is mechanics over quality, massively mechanics over quality, because in a normal game, stuff can look amazing. You can't do shit.
Mm.
It's one of my biggest bugbears in a good-looking game. And even Starfield is okay, but there's not really any purpose to anything. No. Like, yes, you can pick stuff up, throw it, smash. You could flip certain stuff, turn toilet. There's no purpose to it. Whereas in VR, you're pulling switches. Like, Star Wars is a very good one in VR. So that is the Darth Vader series.
Oh, somebody at work was telling me about that.
Very, very good. So you get to use lightsabers and stuff. Now, there is a lot of stuff where you have to grab, pull out switches and dials, turn it, push it back in.
Okay.
So although it's not graphically amazing, it almost completely forgives that by being immersive.
Yes, I'm with you. Yeah, I suppose, it's a swings and roundabout situation.
It really does. Like this other game I played is like a horror game.
Mm.
And you go out into this misty world where these creatures and stuff, and the graphics aren't amazing, but you get really lost in the environment because, especially if you've got like surround sound on, earphones on, and you've got this little 9mm pistol, and you press the wrong button, your clip falls out, and then you've got to bend down and pick it up, put it back in the gun, cock the gun, make sure your safety's off.
Yeah.
And when you're doing that, it's all very realistic. So you completely forget the graphics are shit, and you're like shitting yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this monster's coming towards you. You're trying to work this gun, and it feels so realistic because your arms are moving like your arms are moving in real life. Yeah, yeah. You're aiming the gun in front of you like you would a normal gun. Two hands, left hand on the butt of the gun, and you're firing it, and you're feeling a bit of recoil. Mm. So it's the reality of the motion. It forgives the graphics.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. I see your point.
You do lose yourself.
Yeah, no, there's a very valid point.
Yeah. I think if you're playing a game that is designed to be static and you've got a controller, you're going to be disappointed. But if it's one that's very reactive,
yeah,
you're using your arms, you know, like cocking a real gun, sniper rifle coming in and you're zooming up, you know, your bolt action, you have to do the bolt action of the gun, you're actually doing it. That can't be replicated in a controller.
No, that's a very good point.
So once you get a game like that, I think you will start to feel a bit different.
Yeah, and you start to look past
the graphics.
And you get more immersed in it.
Yeah, because it's the mechanics. A bit like playing Duck Hunt, you know, the fun is in holding the gun.
Yeah.
In this, it's you've got your gun. You can actually get good custom things for the controllers where you can clip the controllers into a gun.
Cool.
A 3D printed gun. Yeah. So you can actually walk around with a stock and a foregrip.
Yeah.
So you actually do feel like you're holding a gun.
I'm going to have like shotgun butts and rifle butts as lined up on the wall.
yeah, basically 3D printed ones.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think once we find that sort of game, I think you will definitely feel a bit different playing that sort of game.
Yeah. Okay.
But we've been on VR for a long time now. The next question we had, which was from Jameis. I hope I've pronounced that right.
Oh, yes.
He's famous, but with a 5 and a J.
Yeah.
Jameis.
Yeah, he's a local boy.
Yeah, he is a local boy. And his question for the podcast is what is the your least favorite game you've ever played?
Least favorite game.
So
it was
a game that you just didn't enjoy playing. Let me just go to the question and just triple check that is exactly how it's pronounced. But let me go into my notifications.
Least favorite. I mean, there are a fair few games that I've played and then just gone, not for me. There's a lot of that.
Can't find the bloody question now.
A game I was most recently very disappointed in and didn't like was Redfall.
Yep. You said that was quite buggy.
Mm. For a Bethesda game, which, let's face it, they're known for bugs, but that's what we love them for. It was just a terrible game. Like, I played it with three of our friends. And we were playing on the hardest difficulty we currently could. You can only play it. There's like a nightmare mode and there's like a hard mode. You can't do the nightmare till you finish the story.
Yep.
We're playing it on the hardest setting. There was four of us playing. Within an hour of playing, all of us had legendary guns.
Yeah.
And when it's like, oh, there's a vampire horde coming, I think we were lucky if there was four of them.
Yeah.
And we're like, we're just one shot all of them.
Yeah.
And then it's like, cool, you've survived. Right, moving on. And we're like...
Underwhelming.
What on earth's that about?
Yeah. Yeah, like, so I didn't pick it up on your recommendation that it wasn't very good because games sometimes can draw you in with clever artwork.
Yeah.
Nice covers, artwork, you know, and you're like, oh, that looks really good.
So it's a reliable studio as well.
Yeah. It's like when you go onto Game Pass, you're like, oh, that artwork and that cover looks sick. You go in and it's a side scroller.
Yeah, top down.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's not what the graphics look like at all.
It's a roguelike. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So I would say for me, I'd like to think that there is a game which was just out and out bad, but I like to think I stopped pre-ordering games for that reason. So I've very rarely been disappointed, but two that stand out for me would have been when Sea of Thieves was first launched. Me and all of our friends bought it and I refunded it within the same evening because it was just nothing to do. So it was a game that felt very light at launch. Same as No Man's Sky, very light at launch. I've been back to No Man's Sky 4 or 5 times and I've never really got past the first planet because it's fucking laborious.
I've never played it.
Like, honestly, to try and get your ship repaired so you can fly off and do other shit, it's almost like a tutorial, but it's so fucking ball-breaking that it puts me off playing the game.
Yeah,
I know that my friends have told me the game gets really good once you basically get going. You know, it's one of those games you need to give a few hours. Mm. But honestly, the first planet that you're marooned on, your ship's not working, the controls are really fucking horrible, and it's ball-breaking.
Yeah.
You could spend 4 hours, you still haven't repaired your ship, you've been running around a planet, running out of energy resources, not knowing where you're going, it's not very clear what you need to do.
Mm.
Horrible. But I now know that it's a very good game and people rave on it. The other one is Cyberpunk. So when it was first released, you had it on the PS4.
Yeah, and I tried playing it a good few times. I'd get like 10 minutes in and I just blue screen, console would reset.
Yeah.
So it just got put on the shelf.
And I had it on the latest Xbox and I was really disappointed.
Yeah.
Really disappointed.
You got rid of it, didn't you?
I got rid of it again, same day. Mm. So it was one of those where I just shelved it and said, I'll come back to it. And I then got it on the PC, finished it on the PC. It's good on the PC. I'm sure it's better on the console now, but I never picked it back up on the console. No. So
console now is obviously, like I said, I'm playing it again for the new DLC. And it is a completely different game.
Properly optimized now.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's
just, but you're playing on the PS5 now.
PS5
compared
now,
to the 4. So it was one of those games that should never have been released on an old console.
No.
And I think developers needed to be braver and just say, nah, we are not releasing it on any old gen stuff anymore. It's new gen or you can't play it, basically. There has to be a progression path where you leave old shit behind. Even the new consoles now have been out years.
Yeah.
So why are you still developing something for something that was launched 12 years ago?
Yeah. I think we're at that point now where nothing should really... It is a harsh thing to say, because obviously not everybody's got a PS5 or the next-gen console. But I thought you said, I do think there is a cut-off point where developers need to say, if you want to make this game as best as it can possibly be, we need to not go back a step.
No, I agree. It is harsh, but equally, it's not. Because if you want... The expectation on games is so great... And developers are struggling to finish games ready for launch. And they're coming out with tons of bugs and updates and stuff. Just sack off the backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
Just get rid of it altogether. As far as I'm concerned.
I think older games coming forward, generation.
Yep.
That's, you know, I'm all for that. Like back on the PS2 when you could pay PS1 games.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. But I think trying to make a fresh IP, like you're saying,
it's a AAA game. They need to focus for me on the most powerful,
the most
software
current thing, yeah.
Because before long, they're going to start to bring out, they're already talking about the next PlayStation, whether it's a Slim or, you know, obviously they're bringing out a Slim at a certain point where they've made it a bit smaller, but it won't be long before they start talking about new consoles.
No,
you know, we've now had these consoles for probably 3 years now,
yeah,
maybe longer.
COVID-y time.
So. Yeah, I think it's time to leave those gens behind. But for me, I think the games I associate with games that I didn't enjoy playing were the ones that were unplayable or not finished or didn't have enough content. Not because they were bad games. Mm. Sea of Thieves, not a bad game. People loved it. There's people that played it exclusively.
Yeah, I've played it recently for the first time and it's very good.
Yeah, it probably is now.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was just there was nothing there.
No.
Basically, it wasn't what you thought it was. No Man's Sky was awful. Cyberpunk was awful. So my biggest bugbear is not really bad games. It's games that should have been good, but were let down by overambitious launch times.
I think another obvious one for a lot of people would be Anthem.
Yes.
Which, controversially, I really enjoyed it.
I did when I played it much later.
Yeah.
But I missed... The thing is, I am a fan of the Mass Effect franchises. And obviously, it was developed by the same people.
Mm.
And Mass Effect 3 or 4?
Or the last one, Andromeda.
Before that. So it was the trilogy. It was the last one of the trilogy. Yeah. Was very good. Really good story. Mm. Really sucked me in. Absolutely loved that. Ending was amazing. And then obviously Anthem came out and it was supposed to be the destiny of basically that universe.
Yeah.
And it could have been. It could have been like the flying through the air, flying underwater, like the trailers of it were sick.
Yeah, the E3, you know, if people remember when E3 was a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The concept video they showed when they were dropping that, which was like 3 years before it actually came out, was like, wow.
Yeah, you were basically...
That looks incredible.
You were bringing in storms... You were flying, you know, in real time. No, because the thing with Destiny, and Destiny's, you know, is a great IP. It's a fantastic game. I've got thousands of hours in Destiny, not so much Destiny 2, but it was so good, but it did have limitations. It didn't feel open world.
Right.
Whereas Anthem was like, you can fly high.
You had biomes, basically.
Yeah, you can fly high, you can fly up to a mountain. It felt like it was do anything, go anywhere. Fly in the air, fly under the water. You know, the fact that you could overheat, you fly into the water, resets your engines, you fly out. You know, then you could land, pop your super, put a tornado in the air.
Yeah, fire, kill a load of things.
Oh, the trailer,
the
like you said.
The story and the end game was pretty shite.
Yeah.
There was one character in the story that, like, because I played it again with my little Thursday gaming crew.
Yeah.
Because we played everything together, I think. And as a four-player group going in, we found out that the one thing it did better than most multiplayer games I've played is the synergies with different
classes.
Like, I think they're what they were called. They were javelins, weren't they? What you were in.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, I remember once I was like a tanky guy, and I had like an arc reactor that set off lightning, so I could just like put my shield up, walk straight through like a mob of enemies, electrocuting them all. Then my mate would fly over and like drop some fire, and the fire and the lightning would like combine and cause this massive combo destruction.
Yeah.
And then like one of the other people could come in and they could do something and you could combo off each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And all that, we figured out this whole list of moves that comboed perfectly.
Yeah.
And you could just wipe out loads of things.
I think that's the thing. It's a game where they got the mechanics right,
but the rest of it terrible.
But they didn't develop a story.
No.
So they released a game that mechanically was very good. Mm. But there was just empty.
It just
didn't feel like there was a story behind it.
It could have been.
It's almost like you were doing this endless rinse repeat missions from your base. It's not like you developed through a world
and
developed a story and there was a bad guy and you know it just didn't feel like there was anything going on.
There was like something of like a bad guy thing, but it was so weak.
Yeah.
And then like you say, it was very much like, right, I've done this mission, right, go back to base.
Yeah.
What's next? Go back out.
And I think that's why it was so disappointing, because obviously the previous game I mentioned.
Destiny?
No, the one made by the same people.
Mass Effect.
Yep. It was so good.
Yeah, yeah. The story wise was a brilliant Mass Effect story.
That was its strength. I mean, it wasn't graphically the best. It didn't have a lot of supers and abilities and all this sort of stuff. And it was a lot of just running around.
It was a great RPG.
But it was a great RPG, and it had a fantastic story. Mm. Absolutely fantastic story. So I think that's where you go into that next game thinking, all of these mechanical abilities, like a Destiny or a Titanfall,
yeah,
with the story of a Mass Effect, you've got a winning recipe.
Yeah.
But it just forgot the story part.
See, Titanfall 1, that's one I didn't like either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like the whole online campaign, and every match is like an online game.
Yeah, I mean, Titanfall led the way for... led the way for games like Destiny, I think.
Mm.
You know, the way that you were kind of like, it was a very fast-paced sort of
just
game.
Like, it'd be like a red versus blue, like capture the flag kind of deal.
Yeah.
But if you lost it, you couldn't continue the story.
Yeah.
So you then had to like rematch-make
and
keep rematch-making until you won. And it's like, this is a campaign.
Yeah.
Like,
why am I doing this?
Why am I...
Yeah.
Yeah. Have all these scrubs I'm carrying.
I know. Titanfall was one of the best games I've ever played.
It was, yeah, like you say.
Gunplay, you know, the way the guns felt, the way they
jumping
shot.
Jumping in and out of the Titans.
Yeah, all of that stuff was fantastic. But I just don't enjoy multiplayer.
I couldn't tell what the story was about.
No, I don't enjoy multiplayer. I'm just not good enough, basically. Right. So I'll enjoy it in small doses.
Like if they built it like a COD, where you've got your campaign, and then you've got multiplayer, fine.
Yeah. Titanfall 2 was better. The story mode in Titanfall 2 was good. Enjoyed it, but I wouldn't play it again.
No.
So, yeah, you know, I think my bugbear, as I say, comes down from games not being finished or over-promising.
Yeah.
Rather than I've played a game and it's bad, you know.
Redfall is bad.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's games like, I think, like controversially, I'm quite open about it, that I just don't really like The Last of Us.
Yeah.
I understand why it's good and why people love it so much, and I get that. But for me, it's just, just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think games like Days Gone, like, I really would have preferred they would have brought a sequel out for that. I enjoyed that much more than I did The Last of Us. Mm. But I enjoyed The Last of Us. It's
Days
just
Gone
a different
is
game.
Like one of my favourite games I've ever played.
Days Gone.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
I don't know if I'd love to go back and play it, but I think that I wouldn't get past that first playthrough.
I played it through twice, and I'm probably on my third playthrough on it. I just really like the atmosphere and the mechanics.
Yeah.
And there's no hordes done better for me.
No, hordes in that game are incredible.
I think it's absolutely fantastic. I think a sequel would be just for that franchise. It's too good to just be a one and done.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that could quite easily be a
it ended on a cliffhanger, didn't it?
Yeah. It could quite easily be a 3-4 game franchise that and basically go off around America and you know, just a bit like a Resident Evil.
Wouldn't even have to follow Deacon St. John. It could move on to other people,
different angle. It's just so open.
You've got the whole government thing going on. It could just be a
imagine if you do Hordes in a proper city.
Yeah.
Bit like I Am Legend, go to New York.
Yeah, so you know, they could do that. Could just run in like a new survivor.
Yeah,
somebody or could be a character you've already seen that's like moved, that's left that area.
Yeah,
and then you're now playing as them going through. Like,
and as we say, there's a massive cliffhanger at the end of the first game, so they left it wide open for it. It's
I just don't think I'd like to spoil my, because I have such fond memories of playing that game.
Yeah,
like I think I was building my corner setup.
Yeah,
while for the. The first corner set whilst I was playing it.
Yeah.
So I think I have such fond memories of it that I think I wouldn't want to go back and then be like, oh, maybe it's not as good as I remember.
It definitely is. It probably is. I've played it through twice and it is, it's a superb game. The story is as good second time round. I don't think you'd ever be disappointed by that. I think you can just get a little bit bored.
Yeah.
Because part of the thrill is not knowing
stuff. I find that very difficult as myself. Like, I find it hard if I've fully completed a game, I find it hard to go back and replay it.
Yeah, yeah. If a game's good, I'm quite happy to do it once and put it down. And I think I commented on someone's thread the other day where they were talking about people are moaning that Spider-Man is so short, you know, and it's only 20 odd hours. I haven't played it, so I haven't got an opinion on it, but I do have an opinion on games being too short. I don't think a good game can be too short.
No.
Yes, if it's like 4 hours, that's ridiculous, but I think if you get 20 to 25 hours out of a game and you put it down happy, then that's enough.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the problem is there's far too many games out there that require you to grind the shit out of them for 100 plus hours. And by the end of it, you've kind of forgotten a lot of the story along the way. It's a bit like Starfield. Like, I will put it down for a week and then I'll pick it up and I'll spend 4 hours doing nothing because I've kind of lost what I was doing the previous time.
Yeah.
And it could be the same with any big game. And, you know, you could probably comment on like Elden Ring or games like that. They're so big that you never really finish them properly.
No.
You kind of muddle your way to the end of the story by getting sidetracked every fucking 5 minutes to do a side quest.
That's why every playthrough is different, because you've just gone, oh, I didn't do that last time.
I didn't do that last time. And there is something nice to just go, right, linear game, A to B, 25 hours, really good story, really good cutscenes.
Yeah, I think if the quality's there, it's worth it.
And it's there's some emotional investment there, and you come out from it feeling a little bit weepy or whatever. You know, there's certain games that we've all played where they're not the longest, but you feel at the end of it, that was a really good game.
Yeah, you sit. Yeah, you finish it and you're like, wow, that was...
I'm happy with that.
Guardians of the Galaxy game.
Yeah,
like,
that was good.
I went in there with not too much high expectation.
Yeah.
But when I finished that game, I was like, that was phenomenal.
It was good.
So
much
fun.
That wasn't a long game.
No, it wasn't long at all.
There was no loads of side quests distracting you. Mm. You know, it was very linear. You could switch between certain characters or whatever.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed playing it. It was really good.
So I think that there is that. If a game is well written and well acted and you've got a bit of emotion in there, there's been some games I've laughed at. There's been some games I've cried at, you know, and I've come out the end of it feeling like, whoa, that was really good.
Mm.
But I've only been playing it for 20 hours.
Yeah.
Then that's fine. If it's a bad game and it's only 20 hours long, then that's different.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, we don't always like fucking Assassin's Creed. I love the Assassin's Creed.
One of my favourite game franchises.
Yeah. But they have got to a point where they are too big.
Yeah.
And you just like Valhalla. Never finished it, got bored.
That's the 100% Valhalla.
Yeah, but you know what I mean, though? It's like, it's so big.
It was long.
If you put it down, the other one was Horizon Zero Dawn. Picked it up. Put it down, forgot the controls.
Yeah, see, Horizon Zero Dawn's a special case because it's fairly long. It's probably about a 60-hour game.
Hmm.
I've got the platinum for it. But it's one of those games where if that wasn't your only game, then when you went back to it...
It was punishing.
It was punishing because the controls on that game were so unconventional compared to any other game out there.
Yeah, yeah. You forgot how to do shit.
Yeah, you had to literally relearn the game for 3 hours and then you could play it.
Yeah, exactly. And those are examples of basically they're a bit bloated or made artificially harder than they need to be because mechanics are difficult. And I think, you know, some games are just... As a dad, you don't get much time. You don't want to be stressed when you go in. Sometimes games that are just, like, nice and a good story and a bit of action and it's 20 to 24 hours is perfect for me. Granted, I don't really pay 70 quid for them these days.
No.
I'm still in the mindset that everything costs 50 quid.
Yeah, that's where they should always be.
Yeah, but you know, that for me is the sign of a good game, is when you finish it in 20 to 25 hours and you're happy.
Yeah, yeah.
Then someone's made a good game. You know,
yeah, no, I
think they do artificially bloat games out.
I've told you in the past, like, I've always liked looking at value for money.
Yeah.
Because I'm a Scrooge. And so I think, like, if I pay £70 for a game, but I get 70 hours out of it, pound an hour, I'm quite happy with that. But then, on the flip side of that, if it is only a 20-hour game, but it is perfectly polished,
yeah,
and the story is all there, and it is like a really immersive, incredible experience,
yeah,
that sort of outweighs it.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I think there's the balance there on both sides. Not every game could be a 100-hour-plus game.
No,
and I don't think every game should be a 100-hour-plus game.
It's like the new, like you say, Assassin's Creed. A friend of mine,
Mirage,
Mirage. A friend of mine's been playing it. It's fun. I'll finish it. But it is just Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Like, there's no... It's the Far Cry. It's the Far Cry thing, isn't it? It's Ubisoft.
Yeah.
They get a model, and they're like, this is the one. Yeah.
Rinse, repeat, different city, different environment, but it's effectively the same.
But it's literally the same game, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, that's a game that I would play. That's the kind of game that I would like to play on something like a little cloud device, basically, those sorts of games. Quite exciting, actually. I want to get the Metal Gear Solid Remastered collection.
Snake Eater.
Yeah, so they've got Metal Gear Solid 1, 2, and 3 or whatever. But I've seen that now on various app stores or coming up on the app stores. So that is one that I would love to... That is one I would love to play on a handheld. I think that's one you just want to sit on the sofa, play some OG Metal Gear, but remastered. That'd be sick.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be happy to play it on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's going to be good. So there we are. That's our topics for...
So we sort of went into games we love and games we hate with that one.
Yeah.
So yeah, thanks, Jamus.
Thank you for the question. Nice to cover a couple of topics. Yeah. And that kind of leads us to anything else we've got to discuss. We've probably been on for an hour now.
Yep, hour and 5 minutes.
Hour five. So there we go.
So we're perfectly there, yeah.
I'm quite happy to end it at that one for episode 18.
Episode 18 is done.
So 19 will follow in a couple of weeks' time, and then 20 will be done before December, which means we've hit our yearly target.
Which is fine, because then I don't know how long. I can't do the maths in my head. I'm not that clever. Will we do 20, then we'll have Christmas special, and then it'll be the end? Or will we do 20, 21, then Christmas special, then in the end?
I would probably say we finish season 3 with the end of the year.
Yeah.
So we could do a Christmas special / New Year's special all in one.
So do 20. We'll probably we'll talk about it off air.
We'll look into basically doing a VR episode.
A Christmas VR Christmas. Episode. That'd be fun.
Yeah, and we could do that. If we could figure out a way to record it, we could do that from each other's home.
Yeah.
So you can basically, you don't need to do all of this and have curfews and stuff. You can get drunk at home.
Wrap beers up, mystery beers, one each.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
There we go. So that's the plan. We'll have to research that.
Yeah.
VR podcast would be sick.
I don't know if there's any other VR podcasts that do it. We could be the first.
Could be the first, or the ones that do it the best.
What if you could get people? Do you get people to join in on VR? Like, are we possibilities of
an audience? Now? Other people with VR could sit in the audience on mute.
The Dadcast is filmed in front of a live
audience. Exactly. Well, there we go. Thank you everyone for dropping in for episode 18.
Thank you.
We will see you on episode 19, and it will be Paul's turn to bring the beverages.
Yep.
Cool. We'll see you on the next one.
Cool. See ya.
See you later.